grim truth about what is happening in Syria is an everyday story of war and chaos that is still sometimes hard to believe. Hardest, perhaps, for the people who watched it happen.
For us as Syrians, we can't believe what's happening to our country. This is not the Syria that we know. And so it's very surreal, and we're in shock. And I think even if you ask us 10 years from now, we're going to still be in shock.
Hani El-Sayed has reported the truth of the civil war in Syria, the 200,000 lives lost and the millions more displaced. She has also reported a government-approved and tidied-up version of the story when she was host of the most popular morning radio program in Damascus, Good Morning Syria. Hani El-Sayed left her country 3 years ago and is now based in Washington, D.C., co-founder of an exile broadcast channel with internet contributors all over the world called Suriali.
Suriali has a double meaning. Surya Li means Syria is mine. And as you would understand, it's not for anybody. It's not for a family. It's not for a government. It's for the people. It's for me.
The story of Hani El-Sayed and Suriali is a story of media and truth. El-Sayed and her colleagues broadcast the unvarnished truth into Syria, supplemented by a new popular soap opera series called We Are All Refugees. El-Sayed has no fancy studio anymore, but she has discovered a new power in free, renegade media.
I began over a decade ago doing radio, and it was a number one show for 10 years consecutive as a morning show. It had over 6 million listeners. I was in a studio like I am today here. But now we're a team of almost 23 people, and we're all Syrians. We're 50% women, and that's on purpose. We're in Europe. We're in the Middle East. There's only two of us in the United States. Our objective here is peace building and community building. And the way we're working from outside is basically now I have a microphone and a laptop, and I do it from my desk right next to my window. And if I have a interview, which I run over Skype, I go into my closet. So, yes, it is different. But the biggest difference is I can say what I want.
Let's talk about what it was like on that job site. What was the name of your show?
Good Morning Syria. And it was in modern classical Arabic. And then I come and I speak in my dialect. I'm bilingual. I throw in English. I put English music with Arabic music. And I start a dialogue in that sense. It's interactive. I have people calling in, people texting. I'm personal on the show. I come from American institutions too. So there's a Western side to that that was introduced. And it was a side that made a hit.
And that directness was what really attracted the attention.
So I did poke fun on, I was doing my ID this morning. And guess what? Of course he wanted money. How else am I going to do my ID? And then I just throw things like that, and then I go on with the show. It's a three-hour show. But within that three-hour show, I had campaigns like I Am Syrian. And the I Am Syrian campaign went on for actually 2 years. So I was like indirectly trying to create, you know, civil change by the time we figure out how do you change, the politics. And if you can't reform civilly and culturally and socially, you'll never know what kind of politics you really need. What's the next person you want to elect? So the platform needs to also be there. And it was going pretty well. Of course, I wanted more of a green light. But a year after the show started, I actually had the administration call me in and say, you have a green light. But I knew that green light meant as long as I don't do X, Y, and Z. And I took it, and I went with it. But in 2011, when the uprising started, that green light was completely red. And everything turned political, and everything turned in-your-face propaganda machine of, this is what you need to say, and you need to invite people to go down to the marches, and you need to... And then it's not easy at that point to say, I'm leaving. You can't have so many followers and say, I'm leaving.
How did you decide? How did you come to the conclusion that you had to get out?
I wanted to get out in April of 2011. And a lot of people say, you're crazy, don't do it. Wait a minute. You know how everybody was saying 2 more months, it's going to finish, It was that either 2 weeks or 2 more months. For some reason, that was the myth. And in my heart, I knew that that's it. This is not 2 more months, because the reaction was violent. And when the reaction is violent and nobody's going to come to your help, then God knows what's going to happen next. So I said, fine, let me wait, let me see. Maybe I can still use my platform somehow. And that was, of course, impossible. And it was a moral dilemma again for me, professionally and personally on an ethics and value. I just felt it's impossible. But how do I leave? Where do I go? You ask yourself 100 questions. You've built all of this, and then now you don't know where you're going. I'm supposed to be able to at least read a text message from Hamas and say what it says and not be worried about that, the consequences of that. I should not have to say that the peaceful protests that are taking place are terrorists. They were not terrorists. These were peaceful people.
So what did you decide to do?
I decided to leave, and of course I couldn't tell anybody that I was leaving. And I just basically what happened is I think it was the day before New Year's Eve where I said on the show that, you know, I'm leaving for 2 months for media training and I'll be back, knowing that I will not be back. I sold everything that I have. I had a visa to the United States. I left through the airport. I just did it in a smart way.
What was it like to start another media platform? Because you couldn't really say goodbye to media.
You couldn't say goodbye to anything, not just media. It's a whole life. And I am extremely lucky. So sometimes when media, you know, they ask, you know, tell us your story, I feel like my story is nothing. When I see the refugees, these people have stories. And they live in the most dire situations in the tents and the camps. At least I had people that hosted me until I was able to stand on my feet again. And I've been lucky throughout. Not everybody had that opportunity and chance, and that is even more limited today. There's not a country today, even in the region, that Lebanon and so on. These are countries that we didn't need visas. Now we need visas. So it's an issue, to be honest, because every Syrian outside Syria feels extremely guilty. We wanted to do something, and we all came from different backgrounds. And we got together and we said, fine, you know, this is a platform that we need to have. And like I said, it's a platform that grew. It was hours and days on Skype because we live in, you know, different continents. But we were very determined, very persistent. And that's how we started Suriali as a project. And we also have a youth magazine that we print and try to distribute in refugee camps and inside Syria, too.
Hani Al-Sayed is host, producer, and co-founder of Radio Suriali. Tomorrow, we will talk about how Suriali has helped create a soap opera series about life in wartime.
لك يا أهلا وسهلا إن شاء الله عجبك الأكل سيد رامي عجبك الأكل
والله يخلف يخلف يا أخوي يا فادي أي شو هذا يا زلمة أي كثير زاكي بصراحة
صحة وهنا
والله أسكم من كنت أتوقع يا زلمة شو هذا
مين صحة وهنا
والله أنتو سوري
We are all refugees a fictional series trying to get at the truth about the war in Syria and the crisis for millions of refugees That's tomorrow on The Takeaway